We have about 15 minutes left in the session. We are recording today, and so I'm going to ask if you have a question, if you'd raise your hand, state your name and your affiliation, and then as briefly and straightforward as you can, pose the question to who you'd like to answer that question. Any questions, please? Mike Finnegan?
So the question is about sort of the intensity of supervision and whether the under SB 133 we see greater levels of accountability for offenders than standard community corrections or core services. And we think that the answer is yes. So the program was housed within the community corrections. So that meant that already, so it was a sort of a more intense level of supervision. Under court services, some people argue there is no supervision. So you're just pushing paper around and no treatment. So if that's the baseline, then it's sort of easy to move up from that. But looking at interventions, intervention data recorded on the case management system, we see that for individuals going through SB 123, there are more interventions associated to supervision practices than we have on the core services side. A big problem is that the data on the core services side, because it's not centralized, there's very little of it. So LSIR scores, program implementation, program participation, supervision interventions, we don't have almost nothing on the core services. So our ability to see what's happening with that population is restricted. But from everything we have at the moment, we think that yes, so offenders are more accountable on the supervision side on SB 133 than on core services.
Let me add one. Is that on? Yeah. Let me add one other thing, and that is we've debated this a little bit over breakfast this morning. There are no risk assessments done at court services, so we don't know the risk levels of those individuals. What we do know is when the group shifted initially from court services to community corrections in that first cohort, we had seriously underestimated the level of high-risk offenders in that group. The other thing that I have no idea how this plays into some of the research results, but one of the things that we know is that the defense bar is active.
So sort of the textbook threshold for significance. So we did two things. So we adjusted the caliper in order to make those cases look like one another more closely, right? So by adjusting the caliper, so we're being more demanding on the quality of the matching, but then we lose sort of how so an issue of representativeness, yes. So by sort of reducing the sample size in such a way that is, so the offenders in both groups are similar to one another, but not necessarily similar to the groups they're supposed to represent. So we did that, and in one or two matching algorithms, that significant relationship went away. For the ones that were very demanding on the matching procedure, which I think was the important part for us to make sure that we were getting rid of that selection effect, the findings were robust in terms of trying with different algorithms to make those to generate the match. So we tried nearest neighbor, we tried kernel-based, we tried with radius caliper. So, and as part of our report, then the appendix, so we list all these tables, the table with all the different matching algorithms. But yes, it is sensitive to sort of these decisions that have to do to a trade-off between how representative you want your results to be and to what extent you highlight more the fact that these have to be similar offenders on the observables. And that's a separate question in terms of how many observables do we have. So we may be matching on age, criminal history, gender, but still, we only have 6 or 7 or 8 administratively recorded variables. So that's also another limitation. Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, please.
Amanda Owens with the Able Foundation of Baltimore. I was curious, when you did your cost estimate, did you use a variable rate for the prison stay? You know, a lot of times they say if you don't close the prison wing, then you really can't say that you're saving X amount of dollars, so then you go for all these companies.
That's I'm not the researcher in the room. Let me make that really clear. But I talk with the legislature about this a lot. And the way that we couch this is in cost avoidance. At the time that the bill was passed, we were looking at prison construction, and we could honestly and directly talk about the beds that we did not have to build and operate and could create an average cost for them. We had a discussion very recently. Now that what's happened in my state is prison populations decreased by 7%. Well, we don't save $25,000 a year for every person that we keep out of prison. Now we save $2,000. And the cost of treatment is about $3,000. And the critics of the legislation want to make that comparison, saying, well, we don't need to pay for all of this expensive treatment because we've got cheaper prison space that's available now. We took that argument away when I closed 4 prisons in the last year, so now I don't have surplus beds again. But that has been probably the crux of the debate around SB 123 at this point. My personal opinion is it's pretty well institutionalized in our state with the majority of the legislature and with the courts. The judges like it and now want to see it expanded. So, if you want to talk about cost reduction, it's probably not cost effective, but at the time that it was passed, I believe it was an effective cost avoidance bill for the state. And, it's what historical context you look at it. Does that make sense?
I think we have time for 1 or 2 more questions. Anything? Yes, sir.
If you show that the drug treatment works for a simple drug possession, why not consider offenders with a known substance abuse problem, but with distribution or trafficking? In Missouri, that the vast majority of simple possession with 1 or 2 prior convictions nearly all go to supervision anyway. So even with those with a prior conviction for such distribution, they're also quite likely to go to supervision. So why not widen that if it works for the injunction, if it works for
Let me talk about it from the kind of the political with the small p point of view, and then Don and Andres may want to talk about it from the research point of view. I think the question that you pose is perfectly logical. The crime of conviction doesn't necessarily relate at all to the responsivity to treatment. But the overarching political issue is the degree of seriousness that we've attached to the offense. Coming from the Midwest, the issues around meth, and meth is the boogeyman in our state. And so we have disproportionate sentences for convictions around possession and manufacturing of methamphetamine as compared to other sentences. And that's still a political discussion that hasn't been overcome in terms of an alternative treatment as an alternative to prison. I think there's widespread support as treatment in prison. The other thing that I would say that we have not done a good job on in Kansas at this point around this legislation is we have not held the treatment providers accountable for their performance. We hold the community corrections programs very accountable for their performance. We track and publish their revocation rates. We've invested a great deal of time in training them on how to supervise, but we have done next to nothing in terms of publishing the performance of various treatment providers. And in part, that's because some of our community corrections programs are very concerned about alienating the only game in town. I think that's something that we need to tackle, because you could argue if you're not getting much change in offender behavior out of the treatment intervention that you're providing, what's the value that you're receiving for your investment? Obviously, we're saving some prison beds, but we're in a heavy cutback mode in our state right now, and this may be a really good opportunity to start singling out treatment providers that aren't working well with offender populations. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what it made me think of.